Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Basich. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram, Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok, Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight, I'm only joined by Frank the Tank Descalzo. Unfortunately, Mark Hello couldn't make the show tonight. He got caught up with something really late, so he was a very late withdrawal. So it was just me and Frank. There was a lot to go through. We talked about the positives of the game. Was it a good loss? Was it a bad loss? Was it in between? We talked about some individual players as well and their outstanding games, future All-Australian Tristan Sherry, a number of others as well. So let's not waste any more of your valuable time. Let's bring on Frank and we'll have a good chat about it. So tonight I welcome back to the show my Monday or Tuesday regular when I do the podcast, Frank the Tank. Unfortunately, Mark Hello is a late withdrawal tonight, Frank, so it's just me and you. And we are here to talk about the game, the opening round Saturday. And even though another loss to start the year, there was plenty of positives come out of the game. Frank, how did you see the game?
Dean, I tend to agree with you. I think there was some really good positives there. I think when GWS put speed on the game at the start, I think it took us a little bit longer than I would have liked to adjust. They really made us look pedestrian on those defensive rebounds when they got going. But they do that to much better sides than us. So there's no shame in that happening. But I thought the fact that we managed to dig in and I thought we actually scored reasonably well when we did put them under pressure. But, of course, mate, 39 points is 39 points. Some silly turnovers again and stuff like that. But all in all, I thought, considering where we were and who we were up against, I thought 39 points was certainly not panic stations.
No. I mean, I kind of probably half expected what the score would be. You know, like if probably at the start of the game, if someone said it would be 120 to 80, I would have said, yeah, that's probably sounds about right. And that's exactly what happened. So, yeah, I mean, you look at the statistics, Frank, and the one thing that sticks out is how GWS transferred the ball from the back 50. Rebounding it from their back 50 to forward 50, 56% of the time, and with ease a lot of the time. They were far too fast on the outside and clean, and they had 22 intercept marks as well, but we won't be playing opposition like that a lot this year. We won the clearances, had more tackles for the game, and we tried with 22 forward tackles and also kicked 13 goals as well, like you said, Frank. There's a lot to like, and Frank, what I liked was the back line. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the back line, and a lot of people probably take the lazy narrative and say, oh, we copped 120 points and they took all these marks, but it sort of started up the field. But I thought Callan Dawson, I thought, was outstanding. He's our number one defender now, and it's not even close. Had six intercepts. Pink wasn't disgraced, got caught out of position a few times. Core had his first game from a long-term injury, and you expect a little bit of rust, but he'll be better for the run. And we got good rebound stuff from Sheasel, Fisher and McKercher. It looked okay, the back line, Frank.
Yeah, I thought they certainly started well. Look, you're playing against some, seasoned footballers there. And so I don't think anyone expected that Pink and Dawson would keep Jesse Hogan under control for the entire game. He was going to get off the chain at some point. But like you, I think they did enough positive stuff. Callan Dawson came off his man a couple of times and intercepted, made some really good defensive spoils, took some kicks, and hit the targets. I thought he was really good. So, you throw in some experience as it starts to come back, hopefully. I thought they did quite well.
Yeah, I thought, they battled really hard. Now, unfortunately, we lost Josh Goda through a ruptured Achilles, Frank, and that really hurts. I mean, he had an outstanding preseason. It looked like he was set for a big year. It's a bit of blow at such an early time of the year, isn't it, Frank, for a young kid like that?
Yeah, and for a kid that was really looking like one of those versatile sort of could play tall if required, could could mind a smaller forward if required. He seemed to back himself, just really what you like to see. And he's right in that age where you think this could be the breakout year where he sort of announces himself as a permanent fixture there in the back line, and such an innocuous little push off the back foot to mark space. And bang, there it goes. So awful luck for the kid. Look, it's a position that we've probably got some ready-made backup for, but it's more the player that we lost, in that I really thought another season under his belt and we'd get to really see what Josh Goede could bring. But unfortunately now it's going to be a year of recovery for him. So a real shame.
Yeah, I mean, I worry about his long-term future because, you know, he does rely on that explosive pace off the mark straight away. So I don't know if it's going to affect him. I know a few people that have had a ruptured Achilles, and they've sort of said their Achilles never feels the same after that. So, yeah, well, I mean, this day and age with modern science, you know, most players can make a full recovery, whereas probably, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was almost a death sentence. So you can make a full recovery. So we'll have to wait and see the long-term effects of him. And I guess the mental health of him as well would be, would be pretty poor at the moment too. So, I mean, I guess, Frank, a lot of people were talking about Toby Pink and how he got outmarked by Jesse Hogan a few times. I mean, I thought he did a few nice things. He was zoning off a lot. But once again, I'll say that the pressure up the field was almost non-existent sometimes. And he's trying to read the play, got caught out a few times, being too far in front of his player like Jesse Hogan. I think he's worth persisting with for at least a short term with Toby Pink. What do you think, Frank?
Oh, yeah, I think so, Dean. Like you said, I think any backman there was going to struggle, particularly in that sort of first 20-odd minutes where we just looked like witch's hats when we turned it over at half forward and Finn Callahan and the like just raced it through the middle almost unopposed. I'm sure that looking up, they probably had two or three options to kick to, and Hogan being one of the bigger ones, they went to him. But I don't think Toby Pink did a lot wrong. And let's face it, we don't have the manpower at the moment to just, throw him out and bring someone else in. I think he deserves another chance against different opposition at home to see what he can do. I'd be a bit reluctant just to, you know, put a line through his name after that one game.
No, definitely. I agree with that. No, he certainly, after a good preseason, he certainly deserves more opportunities. And you're not going to go against the GWS forward like Jesse Hogan every week. I guess another one I wanted to talk to you is Zach Fisher, Frank. He gets caught out one-on-one a lot. I think he's borderline useless as a one-on-one defender. But I guess the compensation is he gives a lot of drive with his run and pace and skill. Like he did turn the ball over a few times as well. What do you think of him long-term? Do you still like him as that rebounding defender? Because, yeah, I get worried that he can get isolated and he will get outmarked pretty much every time he's one-on-one with someone.
Yeah, look, you got to wonder. You always got to be concerned, Dean, about a defender that returns zero tackles for a game that you lose by 40 points. So, yeah, look, I think what's the old saying? All duck and no dinner. I think he's one of those guys that will, you know, as you said, give us a lot of drive. When we're controlling the game, he'll probably be a headache for the opposition. But he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to forego his possession game to lock down on a small forward. So every side's probably got a Zach Fisher at halfback, one of those guys that's there to run and create. I think you just can't have too many of them. So we need to be mindful that if he's going to be the guy that we let off the chain, then we need to have someone that does the opposite.
Yeah, I like when the ball hits the ground, he's very effective and he can get that handball receive and he will give you metres gained by doing that. But, yeah, if he gets caught one-on-one, that's what concerns me. He's not strong enough body-wise and he's too small as well. I think he's probably under 180 centimeters. I'm gonna be watching him carefully over the next few weeks just to see how that develops, because we do have a need as a small forward as well. So there's always an opportunity that he might move it back up the ground. But if he gets 30 plus touches, I guess it and uses the ball quite well and gets 600 meters gain, then I suppose it compensates for the other stuff that he's got weaknesses in.
Yeah.
Midfield, and they competed really well, Frank. LDU, 29 touches, 8 clearances. Tom Powell had a really good game, 26 touches. I think Lazaro is probably the one that struggled a little, but similar to Toby Pink, I don't think we are throwing the baby out with the bathwater just yet with him. He's had a good preseason. Deserves another opportunity against the Dockers this week, doesn't he, Frank?
Though I was concerned, Dean, that he attended 18 centre bounces and didn't muster a clearance for the entire game, which is probably not going to hold him in good stead if Jai Simpkins available this week. I don't know where he sits at the moment. Okay. But I would think that if Jai's available, I mean, obviously we've got to cover the Josh Goda loss as well. Look, I think he probably deserves another go, but I'd be nervous if Jai Simpkins available that he might find himself as the sub or the like. I just thought he didn't do quite enough.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the other player that a lot of people are talking about is Will Phillips. He's actually quite a good clearance player. With, like you just said with Lazaro, 18 centre bounce attendances, 0 clearances. But I like what Lazaro does around the ground. He can be effective in getting touches there. So I guess who would you prefer right now, like round two? Let's say Jai Simpkins not available, but we've got the opportunity to play Will Phillips or Chael Lazaro. Who's that midfielder that you would have more confidence with going forward?
As a centre clearance player, Will Phillips.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's much between them in general around the ground play. I think Will Phillips is a little bit better in extracting the ball at stoppages. Mind you, we're not talking, they're miles apart because Will Phillips has had his issues as well. But if it's to go into the centre, I'd prefer Will Phillips to Charlie Lazaro. But around the ground, I think there's not much between them. But I think he'd be stiff to miss out altogether, Lazaro. I think that'll all come down to whether A, Simpkins available, and B, I don't even know if Phillips played in the intra-club, which might make it difficult to justify him coming in.
And at the end of the day, it's an intra club. They were going against VFL players. So, I expect him, if he did play, I didn't really look into it too much, that he would have dominated. So, but that's just my expectation. If you're going to drop down a level like that, then I expect a player of his quality to dominate. I still think I'll give Lazaro another week, only because of his good preseason. And you're not going to go into Steve Canelio, Josh Kelly. Who else have they got in there? They've got a couple others that are high quality midfielders. And he did look. He did get lost a couple of times. I felt like, in the centre stoppages that he did get lost. He lost his man a bit too easily. But I guess it's a good lesson for him. So I still would like to see him for another week. But what I liked, Frank, Cameron Zerha, after struggling in the forward line, went into the midfield in the third quarter. Had 10 possessions, 3 inside 50s. First time I've seen him in there all pre-season. But I like what I've seen in there, Frank, and I'd like to see more of him in there. Would you?
Yeah, well, look, I think maybe it was it's a tactical ploy where, I don't know that Cam is the – look, I don't think he's slow, but maybe once there's a bit of heat out of the game, those centre clearances suit him in that, he's a bit a bigger body and – certainly runs in straight lines. So I don't know that I would like to see him start there, but I think to throw him in there sort of in the back half of a quarter to give us a different look, I think it certainly worked on the weekend, and I've got no problem with them trialling it more around, again, the centre clearances than anything else.
It does certainly bring a bit presence into that midfield. He does have a big body. His skills are okay. He sometimes can shank the odd kick, but I like the idea that because I felt like he really struggled in that first half. I know he kicked that good left foot goal, But yeah, I don't think he, you know, when they were transitioning the ball, I don't think he sort of helped with that. He sort of looked a bit slow trying to chase him. I guess everyone looked a bit slow trying to chase him. And yeah, he certainly made a difference in that midfield. I guess Tom Powell's another one that was on the fringes. But 26 touches, Frank, he played a lot better than Lazaro did. Are you confident in him that going forward that he could be, you know, help out the Wardlaws and LDUs and be that third midfielder?
Oh, I certainly hope so. 85% disposal efficiency with only the one turnover. Look, he's another kid that I think we're at the stage now where we need to expose him to senior footy to see whether he sinks or swims, as the old saying goes, because I don't think there's much left for him to learn in the twos. If he's not doing it by now, he's probably not going to do it. So I was really happy with his game, and I'd be more than happy to keep exposing him to senior footy and see whether he develops into that consistent 25 to 30 possession player that we've been looking for.
Yeah, I mean, they gave him a good opportunity. Gave him plenty of CBAs over the weekend as well. Probably,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, we talked the week before. I think he only had 8 or 9 against St Kilda in a practice match. So they gave him plenty of opportunity. And going against the season midfield, which he's kind of struggled with, like against the big bodies. Like I remember Gold Coast last year, he struggled against the Matt Rails. But this time against who did we just play? GWS. I thought he held himself quite well, and certainly was good with his hands, which we all know he's a highly skilled individual. So hopefully he can continue that form and really solidify his place in that midfield, because he's probably the one that's got the highest ceiling yet, of Lazaro, Will Phillips and so forth. He can certainly be a good third midfielder for LDU and George Wardlaw. Now, a player that was outstanding, future All-Australian, Tristan Sherry, Frank, 18 disposal, 14 contested, 8 clearances, game high with LDU, 9 tackles for the big fella as well. I'm loving this Tristan Cherry right now. He's growing on me, Frank. How do you see him?
And he kicked a goal too.
Yeah, very good shot.
So, look, he's doing everything right at the moment. You can, if there was any fears that we didn't have someone to take the gap left by Todd Goldstein, I think they've been allayed well and truly. He just seems to have gone... now that I'm clearly the number one ruck, I've got to take responsibility, and he's done it. My only concern, Dean, and I've said this before, is I love his aggression. He just needs to control it because sometimes he sails pretty close to the wind. But you want that in a big man. You know, you want the opposition to know, a bit like when Shane Mumford was playing, that the big guys in and around the area. And I think he's doing everything really, really well. So I know we've all doubted him. I know I certainly have at stages. But I think he's really put his hand up. So congratulations to the boy. He's doing a fantastic job.
I think we've all been critical of him at some point, Frank. I mean, the last couple of years, he's been really up and down. And you might be right. It might be just through a weight of opportunity that he doesn't have anyone in front of him. He kind of knows that, unless you count Finbar Maley or Taylor Goad or even CCJ, who I'll talk about in a minute. I mean, it might be just a case of, well, you're the number one ruck from here. And he's had a good preseason. Last year was obviously interrupted with a horrible foot injury. So maybe he's just... he's going to take that next step. We're certainly hoping. He got praise from Adam Kingsley, Frank. Even he said he was outstanding. He was like Kieran Briggs, who's a very good ruckman as well. I mean, yeah, we talked about our backline being an area of concern and our ruckman at the start of the year. Yeah, we only talked about it a few weeks ago that our ruck and our backline might be an area of concern. But I feel like it's going to be okay. I feel like the back line will hold up well this year. And I feel like Tristan Sherry, from what I've seen anyway, even pre-season, I think he'll hold up pretty well. Are you more confident each week in Tristan Sherry and the back line that they can do a job, I guess I'm asking?
Well, I think Tristan Sherry in the ruck position is the least of our concerns, Dean. I think is something that we could probably agree on. There's other spots that I'm a bit more concerned about, you know, bits of the back line and stuff like that. But I've been really, really impressed with what he's done. And, hopefully we can start to see some development in a few of those backmen, a la what's happened to Sherry in the first few weeks this year. And, things aren't as bad as we thought they might be.
Now, we had a bit of a mix of Bailey Scott on the wing and in the back line. It seemed like a 50-50 split. I still like him on the wing, Frank. Where do you like to see him? I understand the theory of playing him in the back half because you don't get a run and drive, but I still like him on the wing. I still like him delivering the ball inside 50 and being, you know, and being that link-up player rather than actually trying to, you know, create from the back half. But what do you think? What do you think about that? Because I feel like we've got enough of those players anyway in the back half, like Fisher, Sheasel, and Kircher.
Yeah, yeah. I think his spot is on the wing. Whether that was a matchup or whatever reason, I think his best football is on the wing, where he can attack it equally as much as he defends. Yeah, whether they're just doing it for matchup reasons or what, I'm not sure. But I think he's played his best football on the wing, and I'd be happy to see him stay out there for the remainder of the year.
Me too. I mean, I don't mind the odd movement if he needs to go in the back half, but I still like to see him delivering the ball because he does give, you know, certainly a little bit of pace and drive in that. So,
yeah,
especially in the outside. But, yeah, we'll obviously see how we go for the next few weeks. Forward line, Frank, the transition game from GWS will be a scary thing for most teams this year. I don't think it was through a lack of effort with trying to put pressure on. You've seen some players like Eddie Ford, Zane Dersma, chase a few times, but you know, I talked about the back line, Ruckman, and the Rucks won't be a concern this year, but this may be a concern because we probably still don't have a genuine small forward on the list, and we look a bit one-paced up that forward line as well. So if the ball hits the ground and, you know, someone like CCJ, who is relatively useless when the ball hit the ground, then the ball just goes out of there far too quick. That might be the area of concern I've got at the moment, Frank. How do you see? I know it's only a small sample size.
No, but I agree. I think it's been an issue for us for a while, Dean. I don't think defensively Jaden Stevenson's overly defensive-minded. Paul Curtis, I think, you know, he's you know, shows a good level of aggression when the ball's in his vicinity, but I don't think he pins the ears back and tries to chase all that hard out of there. Dersma and Ford are a bit the same. I think at the moment the concern is if we don't mark it inside the forward 50, it just gets raced out, particularly against a side like GWS. It just gets raced out too easily. And we don't get to set up defensively and we get taken apart. So where that small forward, Dean, is going to come from, that sort of Kaiser Pickett type, you know, nightmare for defenders to switch the ball around knowing they could get hunted down, well, I don't know. But it's certainly an element that we don't have at the moment. And it's, yeah, particularly against GWS, glaringly obvious.
I think, Ricky Mangini did a really good article about it, defensive pressure in the forward half. There was a balance of players, either too many players going towards the ball, and when the ball got on the outside, we didn't have enough to go with them, or players being too reactive to stand too far back. So, yeah, I recommend if anyone wants to read his article, he does a really good summary about it. So, yeah, but I mean, I don't know if it would have made much of a difference if we had a Robert Hanson with a bit of pace up there anyway. Like, I think that was far too good. And you look at another statistic here, Frank, 22 intercept marks from GWS in the game as well. It has to come from the ground with being a little smarter. We seem to learn in the last quarter to maybe keep more possession by going short. So a good lesson to maybe not just try and bomb kick to Sam Taylor or Buckley or Iden and so forth. I mean, we can't afford to just play into the hands of the opposition strength, can we, Frank? Like, especially when you know who they've got as those intercept players.
Yeah, and despite the fact that Nick Larkey's been a fantastic player for us, I don't know that he's a big pack, busting sort of player, and that sort of slow kind of movement where we just bomb it. It's different if you've got a Jesse Hogan up there or someone that can hit a pack hard and that. I think he needs quick ball delivery he's almost like a very tall half forward as opposed to a traditional sort of stay-at-home full forward. And I think when we don't do those things, the ball tends to hit the ground and then we're exposed. But saying that, Dean, I thought we did the same thing a little bit to GWS there after quarter time when they turned the ball over. I thought a few of their guys got a bit ahead of themselves and sort of ran forward of the ball and then got exposed on the run back when they inadvertently turned it over. I guess either you could look at it that they didn't turn it over enough or that we turned it over too much. But I thought we looked like we could score against them reasonably well when we went forward. We just didn't do it enough.
I mean, the second quarter was really good, wasn't it, Frank? I think we might have hit six goals in that second quarter. Six goals straight, albeit. But we played some really good transition football, like you said, in that second quarter. I really enjoyed that second quarter. I mean, obviously, they got on top of us towards the end of the second quarter because we did get within a goal, but they blew it out a little bit towards the end. I think it might have got to three goals. But, yeah, some really good football, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I thought that was the interesting thing was that, to me, it just looked like they thought, look, we'll just run and we can score against them, not expecting a turnover, and didn't really work that hard on the way back. So, you know, some interesting notes to take there that I suppose you wonder whether the club looks at that and goes, geez, if we could clean up our either our forward pressure or our defensive turnovers, you know, we can score against a pretty decent side in GWS. But, yeah, I guess now we've got to see whether we can do it.
Definitely. I mean, there was a couple of opportunities. I think we've seen Eddie Ford. All they have to do is get the pass over to, I think it might have been Paul Curtis by himself inside the forward 50. And, you know, miskicked it. You know, he did a shot. Yeah. And you sort of get within four goals. It might have been a lot better result for us. I mean, obviously, we can talk about how inaccurate they kick, but I think they kick the last seven behind straight. So, I mean, it probably balances out. It was a fair result in the end.
Yeah.
39 points. But, yeah, no, look, you know, I don't think it was that bad. I mean, I guess what was bad, and that's CCJ. Lucky Mark Hello's not on the podcast tonight because I think we're going to say a few choice words about him. To say he was disappointed is an understatement. It wasn't a game that suited him because he can't put any pressure on that orange tsunami when the ball hits the ground. I mean, three marks. I think he took three marks in the first quarter.
Yeah,
but never looked like it, did he, Frank? And, yeah, I think the right decision was made. We had to sub him off after half-time.
Well, in the first few, particularly in the first quarter, I thought, geez, we might be seeing something, a side of him that we hadn't seen before because he was actually clunking some marks and presenting. And then from that point onward, he literally disappeared off the face of the earth. The only thing that I guess may save him is that he's a chop-out for Tristan Sherry. In the back half of each quarter. Now, whether they bring in Charlie Comben and he takes over that role, look, he's just not doing enough, Dean. Not even when he goes into the middle, he's not doing enough. Other than give Sherry, some reprieve, he's not really doing enough anywhere around the ground. So he's in trouble.
Do you think he gets a game this week, Frank?
I think he probably does. I think he probably holds his spot this week. I don't know. You know, I think it's a bit of a risk to bring someone in on intra-club form. So the only possible change I could see would be Comben coming in if he, you know, would. Do you even say he had a blinder in an intra-club match? I don't know. I think at the moment they're probably hoping that Simpkin comes in and they rejig, maybe Sheasel back to half-back to take Goda's spot, and that's the end of the changes for now. But I would think he'd be pretty nervous, CCJ, if Comben is fit.
What about Hugh Greenwood? I know Mark was quite high on him. Marnie Cullen's quite high on him for different reasons probably, but I mean, he could play as a second ruck, and he's a lot more agile around the ground. He can put a little bit of pressure on, and that's what we sort of lacked a little bit. Could he be an option this week as a second forward / second ruck?
Yeah, look, he certainly could. I wouldn't put him in there thinking that he's going to win any hit-outs or anything like that, but he does bring a different element of pressure, and he does present as a forward. quite well as well. So if they're looking for something different, if Clarkson's gone, look, anything is better than what Coleman Jones gave us during the week. I could easily see him coming in for him and just saying we're going to go with a more mobile sort of ruck. But he was pretty poor after quarter time.
I mean, he had four touches in the first quarter and ended up with two more touches for the rest of the game. And I think the thing that was glaring to me, Frank, there was a play where he took a nice contested mark on the wing. Might have been a chest mark. And he booted the ball long and then he chased it up. But then it was just the statue when the tsunami was just running. And that's when I thought, oh, no, he can't keep up with him. And unless he's taken 12 marks for the game and kicking four goals, then he had to come off. But I guess, what do you think of Liam Shields? To me, when he came on, he looked a little bit off. Like, it looked like, I don't know, maybe this is me just being, a bit presumptuous, that maybe Father Time might have caught up with him. He looked like he's aged a fair bit. He dropped a couple of marks. He fumbled, which he never does. He looked a bit slow out there, Frank. What do you think of him? Like, I know he's only out there for a quarter and a half, but he didn't look great as a sub.
He probably didn't do – he didn't have the impact that you'd hope a sub would have, whether that's a bit of rust or whether – they say the end comes very quickly, appears very quickly. It could be that he's just gone that one season too long. It's a bit hard to have an impact in that time. No. Or it can sometimes be difficult to have an impact. He certainly didn't do much. I don't know that he would be too confident that he's holding his spot depending on availability. But, yeah, you certainly want more from your sub.
I think Alistair Clarkson trusts him as well. He's obviously been a triple premiership player and a good senior leader out there. So he's obviously got a bit of loyalty towards him. But I would have liked to have seen Robert Hanson as a sub and get a bit of pace out there because that's probably what we needed towards last quarter and a half. But, I can certainly understand why he wants to put Liam Shields out there.
Well, I was going to say, Dan, it is interesting because I just had a look. I mean, it looks like Freo will probably come in with just Luke Jackson as their recognised ruckman. And then they got Treakey as the backup, I think, at about 195. So, that could be the week that they go, look, do we need two genuine 200-centimetre players or can we go with a Sherry and then use a Greenwood, to give us a bit of a different look? So be interesting to see what they do.
Well, I noticed Cameron Zerha did one centre bounce as well. He was in the ruck for one centre bounce. So it could even be a possibility. Let's just go really small. Let's get another small in there or something like that. Like we go Robert Hanson or Blake Drury, get a genuine small and let's just have Cameron Zerha do five or six centre bounce attendances as a ruckman and have Hugh Greenwood as a sub. And, this is a possibility. But, I guess there's many possibilities. Maybe they might think, oh, let's expose him and play CCJ as well and, try and beat him with height. So, it'll be interesting, and I guess that's why they pay assistant coaches and selectors and coaches to make those decisions. Frank, Zane Dersma, he looks all right, doesn't he? He can take a mark and probably contributed more than I thought he would, but he's going to be a player, isn't he?
Yeah, he certainly looks like – what I love about him is he's not he backs himself already in flight in a pack. He's not looking for the easy outside ball or lace out on the chest. He backs himself in a contested situation, and I think as he fills out, he looks to be the kind of kid that could really cause a nightmare across half forward with another 5 kilos and 50 games under his belt. I think he looks to be a hell of a player.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting having him and Colby McKercher had an outstanding debut who I bypassed before, but those two kids, I mean, for picks 2 and 4, they look like they're going to be stars of the competition. It's pretty handy to have him.
Yeah, and he, particularly Dersma, seems – look, I think he is quite – he's taller than what I thought, and he plays tall. You know, he's a very versatile sort of player. Mukurtza, look, you know, he looks like another kid that once he builds his tank up, he's prepared to run and create. So they both look like terrific gets. So, but yeah, particularly Dersma for me, I kind of was really impressed at the balls he went for, and some of them that he got, some of them he didn't, but he really seemed to want to get involved.
No, he certainly did. And, you know, he's a player I don't think is going to get many touches in the game, but when he does get it, he's going to use it. He's got a lot of quality about him. He kicked two goals from, you know, one was a handball over the top, but another one was a good quality finish. Took some great marks, like in the air, just for the flight, better than anyone else on the ground. Yeah, no, there's definitely a special player there. And, you know, I was a bit skeptical why they picked him because I was thinking, why do we need another half forward? But this guy's, he's got a different skill set to other half forwards we have on our list. And yeah, very exciting. And I think he might kick a few goals this year. But we'll move forward this week. Frank, the Dockers, they had a good win, like we spoke about, in round one against the Lions. Now, we have to make a team change. Josh Goddard has to go out, unfortunately. I guess the logical replacement is Luke McDonald. Would you go down that path?
Oh, Dean, look, I think, you know, on paper, you would. I don't know where his fitness is at with that hamstring. I'd be a little bit nervous. I think for me personally, I'd like to know where Will Phillips and Simpkin are at, and maybe move a Darcy Tucker or a Sheasel to half back. I know Darcy Tucker's not genuinely a half back, but Luke McDonald, if he was fit, yeah, absolutely the logical replacement. I just don't know if he's fit. But then again, you know, like you said, mate, that's why we pay the fitness staff.
Well, sometimes. I guess the other one would be Miller Bergman could come in. Yeah, I mean, they're probably the main two. Like, if Luke McDonald's not fit, I guess Miller Bergman could come in for Josh Goddard. I mean, I think he's due, you know, not due for a big year, but I think he's got the potential that, you know, he can play a role for us, certainly this week and probably for the next, you know, for the rest of the year as well, Frank.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it'll be very interesting to see what happens there again without the VFL having a genuine hit out. There's any number of possibilities. I think was Bergman an emergency? I thought he
He
might have
was
been.
emergency, yeah, he was.
Yeah, so that might give you an indication of where the fitness is of the other boys. You know, Jackson Archer as well. So. Yeah, that might be the logical in, but I guess yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
Oh, I guess they could go left field and go maybe Riley Hardiman, who looks pretty good too.
Yeah,
I mean, we seem to have a million halfbacks and a million halfbacks to pick from, but probably nothing else in a few midfielders.
yeah.
But
So just having a quick look, yeah. So they lost Warner to the concussion. Oscar McDonald has done his knee. And it was Brennan Cox that looked to suffer the really, really nasty hamstring injury. So, you know, they've got a couple of replacements that they'll need to find as well.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm going to have to make about four or five changes. I mean, it's still got a very strong team. I mean, Caleb Sarong, 46 touches. You know, Andrew Brayshaw, you know, James Aish, Jordan Clark's a very good seasoned player now. Hayden Young, I mean, Nat Fyfe, hopefully he can get a full crack at it this season. He's had a couple of injury interrupted years. So there's a lot of quality in that team for the Dockers. So, but I think they're a bit of a different team away from home, especially in Melbourne. So I think we're at half a chance, Frank. I mean, I guess the other possibility of a change, the only one I could see is maybe CCJ. What do you think? Do you think he gets another week?
Look, he possibly. If he gets another week, it's because they just want to make sure that, or give him the opportunity to prove himself. He hasn't he if he plays like he did this week next this sorry last week this week, I think he's a dead duck.
Oh,
So
no, he's cooked. Yeah.
he's cooked. So it'd be just a purely that maybe Comben isn't fit, and they you know. Put it to him that, mate, we need more from you. Otherwise, you're going back into the VFL for a period of time. I think he stays, Dean. I wouldn't be disappointed if they don't go with him. I've just got a funny feeling that without the VFL playing last week on the weekend, that he might get another opportunity.
I think so as well. I think he'll get another opportunity this week against the Dockers, especially if Brendan Cox is out. I don't know who their replacement is at the moment. So, I don't know who they've got in the waffle. It might be an opportunity for him, I guess, because he does add a lot of height to that. And you need a good, not good, but a tall second defender to help out. If Jai Simpkin is fit this week, who could he possibly replace, you think, Frank?
Well, I think he might just come in for the Goda injury. Not that he'll replace Goda. I think they'll reshuffle whatever they need to do and get Jai in. Again, this would come down to whether Luke McDonald was fit. But I think they're probably going to go with minimal changes. It'll probably either be Bergman if Jai isn't fit, or Jai comes in and they reshuffle the back line a little.
Be interesting. What's your prediction for this week, Frank? Do you think we're a chance against the Dockers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we are. Yeah, we've just got to we can't let them like they did to Brisbane, just run rampant through the corridor. That was a problem on the weekend with the Giants. But this is a different stadium at home. Hopefully they manage to sort of quell that a little bit, and then I think we've got enough firepower up forward to cause them headaches. But saying that, Jai Amos looks to be a hell of a player, and I think our backline's going to have their hands full as well.
Yeah, Callum Dawson, Toby Pink, they'll certainly be working hard, that's for sure. And hopefully there's no mix-up matches and Zach Fisher ends up on
I guess the thing in their favour is that Jai Amos isn't exactly a 150-game season veteran.
He's not a big body either.
Yeah, not yet. Look, he's certainly filled out, but I don't know that he's the kind of guy that's going to plonk himself in the goal square in a one-on-one and out-muscle Callum Dawson. So I think he provides a different challenge to that back line. But look, what he does do is he moves very well and he's got great hands. So, we'll have to make sure that the ball doesn't come in anywhere near as easily as it did on the weekend.
Yeah, and that's going to be the key. I worry about that transition football. That's probably the biggest area of concern. I'm not worried about the back line. I'm not worried about Tristan Sherry anymore. It's just that defensive pressure up forward. It's still concerns me. And there's a long way to go, and there might be a few teething issues with that during the course of the year. Well, Frank, that's all I have for you. Do you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, not really. Just, for everyone that's listening in, get out there on Saturday and get behind the boys and let's see whether we can get those 4 points and sing the song. It'd be lovely. But otherwise, no, I'm looking forward to it, Dean, and hopefully the boys can do us proud.
Definitely. Hopefully we can put up a performance because it might be our best chance to win for a while, Frank. So, it might be a case of if we don't win this week, we might very well be 0-5 pretty quickly. So we'll have to wait and see. Anyways, Frank, I appreciate you coming on. It's always a pleasure, Frank, and I'll probably chat to you next week.
Sounds good, Dean. Take care, and thanks for having me on.
So thank you very much to Frank the Tank Descalzo for coming on once again, and thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, comments, telling your friends about the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. If you can leave a rating review on the podcast platform you use as well, that would be awesome. So I'll be back later in the week. We'll talk about the teams. I'll try and get my Thursday regulars on as well. There'll be a lot to go through. There'll be more news. Obviously, team changes as well. So there'll be a lot there to go through. So bye for now, and go Roos.